Welcome to Tiny Table 3. This is a podcast where three nerds sit around a tiny table and chat. Today we're talking about things that might be a little penis-y. No, I got it wrong.
Penally.
Fuck. Penally. All right. Well,
talk about penal codes.
Our naked wrestling.
It's very boring.
Our naked wrestling talks about the code, the kill or no kill code of comic books. Would we be a character that has one or not? Our weekly wrap up talks about South by Southwest, a little bit of some new games that we found. It's 10 Cloverfield, correct?
10 Cloverfield. Yeah, 10 Cloverfield.
Mm-hmm. And a little bit of con season. We are upon it. Woohoo. We'll be spending so much money. Yay. Right Game is going to talk to you about Daredevil because season 2 is now on Netflix. And your mediocre advice from a decent human being is nerds on nerds on nerds. About
nerd porn.
It's very penis-y.
It's very penis-y.
That might be throwing you off to what it actually is.
I got slapped in the face by a penis.
Slap at the base. Slap at the face by the penis.
Stop. Why are you adding like an Irishy accent to it?
I don't know. All right. This is Cloud City. I am at geek_is_in.
And this is Small Stack. I'm at Small Stack, which is my Twitter handle. And you can also find me at tinytable3.com or on Instagram at smallstack_tt3.
And I'm Milo. I'm at Milito's Guitar. No one ever follows me. I don't know what the fuck I say this for.
You might want to take a picture occasionally.
Yeah. And together.
You didn't get your advice.
Together, we are Tiny Table 3. You can find us on all the socials at Tiny Table 3, sometimes Tiny Table _3, definitely on Facebook, and of course, tinytable3.com. And on all the things, follow us if it's easier for you to follow us on iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever you're at. Give us a follow and show us some love, because we're so lonely. I am so lonely. All right.
How did Kim Jong-un just show up in the room?
Because I watched the propaganda game the other day.
Oh, yeah. That was a crazy video. That was
a crazy video. All right. Let's just get this shit started because it's late.
Let's get this shit started.
My phone died.
Okay. Did you put your penis on it?
Was it a penis-y death?
Couldn't take the penal code.
I don't know.
That's a real legal term. I don't know why.
I want to look at anything on your phone ever again.
You know, I should go up to girls now and just be like, you want to see my penal code? And then I'll be like, this is my Miranda rights.
Stupid.
And I don't think that's part of the penal code. I think penal code is specific. I'm talking about something stupid now. Why are you recording this?
Because it's great. This is comedy gold.
I think it's due to like landscaping or something, right? Penal codes. I don't know.
What? Like it's...
Sorry.
Let's get started.
Yeah.
Let's get this shit started. Yeah. I don't even hear you slurp.
I'm just sitting.
Oh, okay. We're on. We're here.
Oh, we're recording?
We made it. Yes, we're recording. Everybody's been sick for a while, so.
Actually,
I'm going to be coughing.
Only you guys have been really dying. I've been available the entire time.
Well, that's because you're a loser and you have no life. But you were sick the other week, too.
But for like half a day. You were sick, right?
You were sick.
Half a day.
But it was on Monday. When we record. Whatever. You're a bitch.
Well,
anyways.
Actually, no, remember because he was already sick and he had canceled already. So
I was pretty sick.
So technically, I was not sick.
All right. Well, welcome back. It's time to get our Tiny Table 3 on.
Gerard Depardieu. Like, that's what it sounded like. That's a real person.
I'm going to make this.
That
didn't
sound like.
This is our sexy French audition.
It just sounded like she was.
That was so French. That was so French.
We'll have our croissants ready.
That sounds more Cajun than French.
Whatever. Shut up. I hate you. All right. Let's jump into this.
Yeah. Okay. So we want to just jump right into.
Let's jump right in.
Okay.
Can you lower my headphones a little bit, actually?
You are being such a bitch today about headphones. Loud,
I'll lower everybody's. Is that better?
Yeah, that's way better for me.
All right. I don't know. I was fine either way. Naked wrestling.
Okay, it's loud again.
That's terrible. I didn't want to scream. I didn't really want to scream. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Come back.
Are you Handsome Dan?
Hello, Dansome Dan.
Because Daredevil came back this week. I thought we would let's talk about for Naked Wrestling this week. The question becomes the code, the issue of a code. You know, superheroes that have rules.
Bitches.
Rules to live by. You know, in other words, they want to do the superhero thing, but they got a code. There's limitations.
You need a code
to what could be done.
Am I the only one arguing for the code?
I love.
You need a code.
Yes, because you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Oh, nice.
I like Deadpool though. So go for the money.
He's not a hero though.
Yeah, he's an anti-hero.
He's a villain.
He's an anti-hero.
We originally remember where he comes from. He's a villain.
Well, it changes, though.
He's an anti-hero.
And it depends on the version you're talking about.
Yes, but he's also known as an anti-hero.
Whatever.
He's definitely an anti-hero.
Well, then Venom's an anti-hero, because he sometimes helps out.
Nah, he's a villain. No.
Nah, see? That's where your lines are skewed now. Like, Venom thinks he's a good guy.
Stick with the subject.
Okay.
All right.
Code is needed.
But does Deadpool have a code? I don't think he does have.
No, he's a mercenary. He's for hire. Yeah. He's all for hire. So his code is money.
He's not really a hero.
I'm just saying.
That was pretty well played. Out of
If he's for hire, he's not really a hero. Like, the X-Men are a hero. They don't do anything for other people for money and shit.
But he steps in with like his own feelings about stuff and does not
Punisher
do things.
Punisher is an anti-hero. I think Deadpool is actually more of a villain.
Okay. Well, I like Punisher too. So
Punisher does everything for honor.
Punisher has a code,
but his code is no code.
No, it's not.
It's punished. It's punished that evil people protect.
It is, and he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Well, the code, the most dominant code is like the no kill code.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that one. Can we go with that one just to establish a parameter?
We'll run with that.
Kill the people. It's a comic. It's in a comic. Kill the people.
No.
Yeah.
Nope.
So you're okay with like Punisher killing bad guys?
Yeah, because he
kills some bad guys.
Because I love the idea of like the Superman, and we've talked about it before. I love the idea of the Supermans and the Spidermans of the world. Like in real life, I just want those guys. But when I'm reading my comic book and getting like my like fix like of, you know, heroes and villains and things like that, you know, I want something that doesn't exist in real life for me. I know that, you know, there's a lot of shit going down in the world, but things that don't exist in my life are kind of more fun for me to read. So I like the idea that you could do whatever you want in a story. So I like the ones that don't have necessarily the no kill code for when I read them. I find them more interesting.
Well, definitely Deadpool doesn't have code. That I would certainly say. But Punisher does have limitations, though. I like him, but there's a reason why he is the way he is, and he's not into killing innocents. I mean, he's jacked up.
He's not into killing innocents. That's true. He isn't into
that.
He
really goes out of his way of making sure he doesn't get people caught in the crossfire, because that's kind of his deal.
I guess. Yeah. I think.
But he doesn't have the no kill code.
See, that's why I was like, let's just limit it maybe to no kill code for this specific section.
But the kill code actually creates more problems than the no kill code, because if you think about it, look, like Batman never killed the Joker, even though he's wanted to in the past. The reason he doesn't kill the Joker is because he knows if he gets rid of the Joker, it just leaves that space open for somebody else, because he knows they'll never go away.
That's true. I mean, that's, well, at least that's one of the arguments.
But if you know that somebody's just gonna lock you up in the comfy little Arkham Asylum, then why not join the ranks of the bad? You're not going to get killed.
But see, here's the thing.
I'd be more afraid if I was going to get killed.
The guys that do evil actually goad them into killing them. They don't care about living or dying. That's the thing. Is you can't beat somebody by threatening their life if they don't give a shit in the first place.
Well, so is the question, would we want to have a code, or which characters do we like more? Or code or no code?
I think in general, if we were comic book characters, would we have the code of no kill?
Let's go with that.
All right.
Okay.
Because I see, like, look at
what
happens now.
If I were a comic book character, and I was myself being a comic book character, I'd be Spider-Man. So yes, I would have the no kill code.
Yeah, because I mean, look at the world and the way it is today. The minute you kill somebody, the guy's second in command is usually worse.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
in the real world.
Yeah, I like to think I wouldn't have a code, but I'm pretty damn sure I'd have a code.
I mean, more of a code
Deadpool
than I would.
Seems to have a really good time. I'm just saying.
He does. Yeah, I would care.
Stax would just sit people down and have a stern talking.
I would.
Them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then school them on their inaccurate views on the world.
Nice.
But he'd be very condescending.
I would be.
So it'd be kind of like...
Yeah. So that's his bad side?
That's how I punish.
Oh, so you're playing good cop, bad cop. Talking down to me, huh?
Maybe correct the grammar or something like that.
If I grammar were a character, dude, in their Facebook I'd go post. With the code.
Be grammar dude. Politically correct grammar dude.
What would I be?
Stupid.
Lame.
LeMay. You can be Miss LeMay.
So I would have a code. Is everyone code?
You guys all, if I was a comic book character, I would have
no
a
kill code for everybody?
You know.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I couldn't deal with it. And I can't deal with the more hatred.
Because I will have to say that it does get the no kill thing does get annoying when you're watching it happen.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
I get super annoyed. Like someone with Superman's like, dude, they're killing people all around you. Kill the person.
That's why.
What is wrong with you?
When I'm reading it, I want the ones that struggle with the fact that they do have to fight that. Okay, they have to cross that boundary.
I think mine would be similar to a policeman's standpoint where it's like, ew. If they're unarmed and I know I've beaten them, no kill. But if they're armed and it's kind of like a moment where it's like, okay, I have to defend myself, kill.
That's fair.
I think that's what I'd do. So more of a self-defense.
Because the ones that really annoy me, the ones that when they're actually being attacked by people that are trying to kill them, they still won't do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'd try non-lethal first, but if it got down to it, like there's like 20 dudes in a room and it's like they all have machine guns, I'd be like, grenade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you would want to do that, but then what character would you be most similar to?
I'd be similar to the guy who's alive.
Shut up. You know what I mean? Does the one exist?
Well, I mean, like...
I think...
In the major known characters that kind of has that...
The new Superman.
He kills?
He killed in the first... In the Man of Steel.
Yeah,
like, that version.
He had to be pushed.
But that's what I mean, like... You get to a certain point where you're like, okay.
Oh, the movie.
Yeah, closer.
Oh, I thought you were talking like a B-52 or something.
Yeah, closer comparison would be like, well, both like Batman and Daredevil. They maim, which I think is funny in itself.
Yeah.
It's like, we could like give them like lifelong, you know, brain injuries and stuff, but we can't kill them. And they always take it to a pretty, I mean, they really hurt people. I mean, Batman hurts people.
Ninja Turtles.
They don't kill people.
They did in the original ones.
They did, yeah. The early ones. But
they were self-defense. That was all self-defense.
You know who kills people?
Who?
Disney. Now who's a bitch? Marvel. Just kidding.
You Disney kill. Or, Disney or, kills people, man.
Disney kills parents all the time.
Iron Man.
All the time.
Disney even had a miscarriage.
They got no code, man.
They got no code.
No code. No
Iron
Disney
Man.
Code.
Iron Man kills people. In the first movie, he killed people.
He does kill people.
Oh, yeah. See, Iron Man's a good one.
See, and Iron Man knows, and like he has a code, but it's kind of like, I'm still like, it's self-defense at a certain point.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, sometimes the code just seems to be so much bullshit. I mean, again, like Punisher having a code. He does have one too, which is ridiculous because he just slaughters people.
Yeah.
Like
but
brutally.
Bad people.
I know, but I mean, it's like, and then he's like, oh, you know, but you know, I know. What's the no children, no women?
Don't deal with
well, that's
near
what
schools.
Makes Superman such an awesome character is that his code is so strong, and yet he's the one that could destroy
actually,
everybody.
Know, you know who Punisher?
That guy needs a code,
he
though.
He needs
he's
a code. So that's what
no
makes
code,
him
yeah.
interesting. Yeah. Spider-Man's kind of goofy and cute and like, I have a code. Mm-hmm. Like
that's true.
I think the one but with I mean, I've the most interesting code, though, is Ra's al Ghul, because technically he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, he's got a code, man. He does, yeah.
I think he's the most interesting. Because
he
kills people
he's
and stuff.
He's a great character.
But he's trying to bring order.
He's thinking big picture.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
He's like New World Order. Illuminati. He's the Illuminati.
Well, you know, if you're thinking about it that way, Magneto's kind of that because he thinks he's doing something for the just the, he's just batting for the other side.
Yep, yep. He's, and I think you can actually
actor. Sorry, dude.
I think you make a good argument that Magneto's doing the right thing. I mean, he's got a good argument. He looks at the human race and he looks at how they treat mutants.
He does everything that he can to save mutants.
Absolutely, yeah.
He won't even kill, you know, his opposing mutants.
But, you know, Professor X is the only one that can do a sit-in. Wheelchair.
Get the fuck out of here.
God.
Sorry, that was, I saw that joke and just had to...
Yeah, you should have just kept it in.
I don't know. I think if I were... Mine would be more self-defense. It's like, dude, if I'm trying to do stuff and it's just not working out, like, to the point where I'm kind of forced...
Kill him.
Into a corner.
That's what he's gonna end the sentence on. Murder him.
Like, if I can sneak past a bunch of dudes and not hurt anybody, cool. If I have to hurt somebody, cool. If I have to kill somebody, well, you push me to that part.
Yeah, I just get annoyed when, you know, people, other people are getting killed around you and they're like, I can't hurt them.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, also though, it's also that moral high ground though, like, if you killed them, what makes you better than them?
Yeah, I know that argument, but
You know what makes me better than them? If I'm Deadpool, money.
Deadpool never really gets paid, though. I never see him actually get paid.
You don't actually see it, but that is his essential
and
role.
He seems to not really need it, because he can just kind of do whatever he wants.
Yeah, that's what makes him so cool.
I guess. Yeah, I'm ready to see Orphan fight.
It's me too.
Oh, Orphan fight.
Yeah, I saw that floating around
the
internet. That
was bad.
That was funny. Orphan fight the movie.
I looked at it for a second, like, what am I looking at? Like,
it was so funny.
Man.
Did you see the new trailer for that, by the way? You still haven't seen that.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, it's pretty awesome, huh?
She's not on board with this.
I'm not on board with it.
Dude, that movie looks so good. Looks
I'm going to go see
Wonder
it.
Wonder Woman looks amazing.
No, she doesn't.
I was kind of against it at first, but she looks freaking cool.
I'm sorry, but like, is she with you? Like, those idiots don't banter like that. It's so stupid.
They actually do. If you read the comic books.
No, they don't.
Dude, Bruce Wayne is ultimate banter.
Not like that. That was a dumb, like, that was a Spider-Man line.
I've heard that the trailers don't give you a near clear picture.
I'm gonna go see it, but I'm telling you, the trailers look stupid.
Hey, I'm hoping the same thing about Suicide Squad, but that just looks dumb.
That looks terrible.
Yeah, I don't
know
about
that one.
So,
okay, so round the table real quick. Personally, code or no code? I say code for me.
Half code, kill in self defense if needed, if pushed.
Yeah, I couldn't kill anybody.
I'd do it.
Yeah,
just being honest.
I'd be Spider-Man.
You're either getting shot in the testicles or murdered. You take your pick.
And
if you don't
testicles.
Have testicles, then you're dead. you can't pick.
I'd have to say, actually, even when if I had to pick, like, do my characters, my favorite characters have a code? They typically do.
Yeah.
Yeah, some sort. They're conflicted because of it, though.
It's
always like the internal challenge.
Well, see, I like Swamp Thing's Zatanna, and they kill people, so.
They do, yep. For sure.
So Miles has no code.
No. No, because they're, I mean, it's different. It's kind of a weird, those are weird comics.
No,
though.
You have no code, you're a murderer, we hate
those
you.
Those are weird comics.
Weekly wrap-up. Moving on.
How's it going? I'm just
to
weird.
The East End. So I went to South by Southwest for the interactive portion.
Lucky.
There was a huge TIE fighter out there, you guys.
I saw pictures. It looked cool.
It was cool. But it would
have
been...
It?
You can't sit in it. That was that's what would have been cooler, but it was very unstable.
That was a big freaking TIE fighter.
It was huge.
A TIE fighter.
But I don't know if you guys saw, somebody posted on my wall after I took a picture with it. They just commented today. There was a stormtrooper getting handcuffed underneath the TIE fighter.
Oh, that's sweet.
I'm like, I don't know what happened. Because South by still like going down, like the music and everything stuff, I think is still rolling out.
Yeah.
So people are still down there. And yeah, a stormtrooper was. So when I went, the stormtroopers weren't there, but what was super cool was I went in line early on a Sunday morning before I had to really jump in and do any like last minute work stuff.
Post that picture to the website. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they gave me a TIE Fighter Black Squadron shirt because they told the guy behind me who had a Star Wars shirt, like, hey, you get a Star Wars shirt for being an actual Star Wars fan in line. And I was like, I'm a Star Wars fan. I have to wear this stupid shirt because I'm working. And then my friend Ryan, who was with me, was like, Claudia, you have like a Star Wars tattoo permanently on your body. Like, show them that. So I was like, does this make me a Star Wars fan? They're like, yeah, that pretty much earns you a shirt. So I got this like blueprint looking, awesome. You know, TIE fighter shirt that was pretty sweet, and a lithograph. So you got like all the stuff as you went by through the thing.
And then they're all like, a girl.
No, it was actually women working the whole thing.
Oh, come on.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was all women doing the activation. And it was just out in like a pile of dirt, like on the end of Rainy Street. It was very cool. So if you're in Austin, like, it's probably still there.
That wasn't a Star Wars thing. I think it was just a bunch of nerds around a pile of dirt.
Oh, yeah, it was. It's right by all the food. The Salt and Straw is right next door. It was great. Great little awesome. Afternoon. We did South by Southwest because I was there with Nerdist and Geek and Sundry and Amy Poehler Smart Girls. We played like Telestrations After Dark. If you haven't played it, super fun. So it's that game where you like draw something and then somebody has to guess what you draw and then somebody has to... And then you write it and then somebody else has to do it. But it's after dark and it prompts you with like kind of like naughty things. It's super funny.
Bar once, I think
we did it. It's a game that people have played like just on napkins at bars.
Cats fighting with swords.
But this actually
flower bed thing.
But this is so this company actually made it so that you can just have like flipboards. So there's actually a way to always constantly play it without having to like go through paper. And it has prompters and it has a timer. So just kind of like put that game actually into a packaging, which was really cool. So I played that one. That was pretty sweet. And we also did a grog fest as Geek and Sundry, which was, you know, those like beer stein holder thingies.
Yeah, that's cool.
Nice.
That was like an immediate hit. There was like a containment thing. And during the party at night, the like containment would happen and like people would start getting more and more sick and like puking blood on like this window stuff. Wow. It was kind of fun. Like people were just walking around. It was really fun. It was like, I recommend going for the interactive portion if you're ever going to South by Southwest, because Rainy Street gets taken over by a lot of interactive brands and they leave them all, like a lot of them leave their places open. Ours is open. You could just walk in and they do like, you know, some swag giveaways and some things. But we had panels, like pretty like big people came by for Nerdist for their panels. So that was pretty sweet. And then I went over to an industry thing and in the afterwards in Vegas. And so I've been gone forever. But just a quick note from that one, I played this game called Kodama. And it's like made by this company who also made Heroes Wanted, which has won a lot of awards as a board game. From my understanding, if I'm remembering correctly, I believe they've won a lot of awards with that game. And it's like these little cute guys and they grow trees and you grow a tree. And like the way that you calculate like the different items that are on your tree get you points. But then like you have Kodama and during every like season you get to play a Kodama and that could potentially like skyrocket your points. So you're just trying to like balance out your point level. Like, do you want to get points as you're growing your tree or do you want to really like put down a heavy like Kodama, like a heavy lifter Kodama?
You know, what's funny is they made gardening a game.
Yeah, it's a tree growing game. Really cool. It plays.
I probably still play it.
It plays in like 20 minutes.
I played Harvest Moon for like 20 hours ago.
Yeah, dude.
I played it for like 120 hours.
It's like it plays in like 20-25 minutes.
Oh wow.
It's not like super long because you just kind of quickly go through your cards as you're playing. We played with like three people, and it was super fun. And then I won. It was awesome. So I liked it even more.
Really that's cool.
So that was my week. But that's all I got for South by. There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff out there. The bad thing was gaming was separated from interactive this year. So gaming happened a week after.
So
we didn't actually get to go onto the gaming floor this year.
Gotcha.
Which was kind of a bummer. But this year it got moved into their convention center. So I heard it's gotten a lot bigger.
Yeah, I'm excited because it's kind of like we're just come rolling into convention season. So
this is the start, man.
Yeah, yep. We got WonderCon next week. Well, you're gonna be flying everything.
Kill me. WonderCon will be fun. It'll be chill for us, I think.
Well, yeah, they're moving it from Anaheim out to L.A. And last year's was disappointing. So.
Yeah, so we'll see how this one goes.
Looking at the schedule, looked like there's some interesting stuff.
I mainly just like the floor at WonderCon, but the floor was disappointing last year, too.
Yeah, it was. It was not that great of a... No. Yeah.
And now I have my Bosque Black Series figure, so I really don't know if there's anything I don't buy.
You know what was great at WonderCon was the cosplay, so I'm excited to see
that's
all the
always,
great...
That's always...
Yeah, that was a strong cosplay convention.
We should look at the X-Wing stuff, see if it's on sale.
For sure, yeah.
But WonderCon, yay.
WonderCon, yep, next week. Yay. Okay. So you saw 10 Cloverfield, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so is this connected to Cloverfield?
No.
In no way.
It is.
No, it really isn't.
Well, but are they part of the same thing?
It's kind
of
the same universe, but like in the same kind of feeling of a universe, but it's sci-fi stuff, like weird.
But was there supposed to be that connection? Like you're supposed to think of the Cloverfield movie?
I think so.
Okay. I was so confused.
I think it's a context that's supposed to.
It's kind of like a feeling that overall both movies have. Like, it's kind of like a sci-fi story, but it's kind of like half-truths where you're not really sure the whole movie what's going on.
Do you feel like you're going to throw up by the end of the movie because the camera's so shaky?
It's an actual movie.
Oh, that's good. I want to see it.
I do, too.
I've likened it to the Thing where you're, like, suspicious of all the characters, but you're not really sure.
The old one?
Who's the bad guy?
Yeah, like the John...
the Carpenter.
Carpenter one.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the last name. But it was cool. The cool thing is when I went to go see,
It sucks.
Everyone was out of town.
You saw
it
was Slash.
Yeah. Well, he didn't sit like next to me.
Yeah. He's like your buddy now. Anytime you see a movie, it's
BFF.
Slash.
Yeah. Well, that was
for
cool.
free.
What the,
see, the thing
hell?
Is, well, like, cause the Witch one I won and that one was limited. And then the Cloverfield one, I just like, cause I follow Slash on Instagram, by the way. I don't want to increase my competition, but it's pretty sweet. If you're like in the LA area, or not, some people fly from fucking East Coast. It's crazy. But basically every so often there's like there's a horror movie and he does like a pop-up theater in LA somewhere. And this one was big. So he didn't stay to meet people and stuff, but he said that up front. He's like, there's just too many people. I can't do it. Cause I have to be out of here at a certain time. But it was at Paramount and, I won tickets at like the last minute and there was like a bad robot mascot guy there and he was like dancing around on stage and people took pictures of them and then Slash took a picture with like the robot and us in the back. So it was neat. I think the movie was really good. I think it's kind of a weird ending, but overall I think for being like,
it's not like one of those M. Night Shyamalans where the whole movie doesn't fucking matter and you get to the end, you're like,
no, you know, the end of the movie is weird compared to the rest of the movie.
I have heard very good things about it, though.
But
yeah,
the whole
people
movie
seem
itself,
to in general really like it.
Yep.
The whole movie itself does lead up to her getting, like...
What?
Okay, so... I know. I don't want to ruin it. So basically,
we haven't seen it, too.
You've seen the trailer. You've seen the trailer
where she doesn't believe she's being held against her will.
So that whole thing is like the tension of...
Is it true or
is what she knows is what she knows real? So like it builds up enough that at the end of the movie does make sense and fits with the rest of the movie, but at the same time, it's weird. Like, but the trailers give nothing away. The whole movie is completely like, I got thrown off by so many things. It made me jump a couple times. Like, it's actually really well done in terms of not giving out any of the story other than there was a John Goodman. Like, that's all you know. So it's pretty interesting. And then obviously there's some violence in it because they show that in the trailer, but it's just a weird good movie. Like, if you're open to just paying attention,
being a little confused,
paying attention to something and not fully understanding it, even at the end, you're kind of like, what the hell is going on? Kind of, but at the same time, you know what's going on. So it's kind of one of those, like, the movie leaves a lot of things open-ended.
Do you really know what's going on?
See, that's the thing. Like, how is this connected to Cloverfield, the other one, too, at the same time? Is it a mood thing that connects them? Like, it's really well done, I think. And the actors are good. I mean, John Goodman is awesome in the movie.
He's always pretty stellar.
The other dude in the movie is really good, too. The characters are well-developed for being, like, not a lot of backstory other than what they kind of tell you here and there, but... It's just like I said, it's like the thing where you don't really know much about all the characters, but you understand what they're going through kind of at the same time. So
how many horse doodlies do you give it? 1 out of 5? 2 out of 5?
What's bad? What's good? I don't know.
5 out of 5 horse doodlies is a good thing.
I would say just because the ending was kind of weird and the very end part was kind of like, like I'd give it 4.5. But still good.
Yeah, it's still good, yeah.
So... I mean, I'd go see it. If you like sci-fi, and I think, you know, if you like sci-fi and you like weird things, you'll enjoy it even if you don't 100%. Like me, I didn't 100% agree with the end, but the end was still good. So, that was all right.
Cool. Yeah,
totally worth it.
Well, then hopefully it's better than The Good Dinosaur. Did anybody see that piece of shit?
No.
What a fucking terrible movie.
Really? See, Jeff
I couldn't
really
finish
liked
it. So, oh my God, it's
all
so
right,
boring.
Hey, I'll take your word for it. I never saw it. Well, I mean, like, I've been waiting for something to redeem. Like, lately, I haven't really been crazy because I didn't like Big Hero 6.
Oh, I love Big Hero 6.
No, I never saw it.
Big Hero 6, but I will say that Big Hero 6 was a very similar storyline to an Iron Giant, and it was not on the level of Iron Giant. But Big Hero 6 is good.
I thought it was all right for like half the movie, and then I kind of got over it.
I didn't like Inside Out.
What?
I never saw Inside Out.
Although.
I love Inside Out.
I think I need to go back to it because I was on a flight. I think I was on Xanax. I'm not sure. I don't know.
You weren't watching Inside Out.
I wouldn't be surprised if...
I should go back and try it again. But
I wouldn't be surprised if the connection with females is stronger with Inside Out, though.
Well, again, like I'm like a, you know, I'm a middle-aged man. So, you know, and that seems pretty much geared towards the psychology of an adolescent girl, which is fine, but maybe it's just not for me.
But women can still connect to it because we went through that some point.
Oh,
so maybe it's a little bit different. Yeah. And some of the funny parts for the guys might be just within the dad, or there's a guy at the end, you get into his brain and like things like that. Maybe you can't connect because it is a like young girl,
or maybe not as deeply, you know,
not as deeply. So then well, the thing is, if you can't connect with exactly what the freakouts are or like how you kind of remembered growing up, it might not have the level of hilarity. Whereas if you can connect with all of that, it's pretty like, oh man, like that's exactly what was happening in my brain, you know. And sadness is the best, like the character sadness. I'm pretty much her like all the time.
I'll have to
every
go back
day.
And try it.
Did you cry during the Jesse scene in Toy Story 2?
Oh hell yeah!
Then you're some little bit of you as a girl.
I think maybe it was just the situation where I saw it. I think maybe that was it.
You should check it out again, because I'd be curious to see if maybe it's just a connection. Because I feel like I've only talked to girls about it, actually.
That's not the best way to see any movie anyways.
It's but I've seen plenty of movies through flights because you just got all this time. Yeah,
I watched the Rock version of Hercules. It was pretty decent on an 11-hour flight. Hey, you know, hey, it was actually not that bad.
You know what I watched?
That sounds like hell. 11-hour flight with the Rock Hercules? That's my hell.
Good.
Happened to me when I died.
What's cool about that movie, though, is because they're all like, they're centaurs. But they weren't centaurs. It was like the guys on horses riding down the hill, and the sun was behind them.
Nice.
And then Hercules is basically like, he's the exaggerated version of himself. So when they come down and he sees that they're just riders on horses, and he goes, centaurs, those don't exist. Like, because Hercules is a legend, and he knows that everyone exaggerates his stories, because he goes back and says, I don't do all those things. People just say them that way.
I did hear it was an okay version.
That was neat.
I saw Spotlight on a plane. Granted, guys, I got first class. I got bumped to first class for the first time ever in my life. So I was all comfy, and I got like a wine glass and a warm cookie. They warmed your cookie. I couldn't believe you guys. You sit in first class for 2 seconds, and you're like, it's so fun because you get seated first, and you watch all the peasants walk through.
And they warm your cookie.
And then they freaking warmed my cookie. And then they asked me if I wanted more cookies. I was like, what? Ooh. Back there, they don't look at you twice.
No, man. That's, wow.
It was amazing. Anyways, I watched Spotlight on it. And
I like Spotlight.
I still really, yeah. So I'm like Spotlight, yeah, maybe it's just your mood too. But I'm okay watching movies on flights because I'm like, at least you're entertaining me.
That's true.
That first class flight, guys, you gotta, here's the
thing. Never gonna happen for me.
No, here's the thing. You know what I did? I have an American Airlines Platinum card now. And they bumped me for free. Yeah. I didn't pay for it. I just got bumped last minute because the flight was full, and I'm one of the first in line to get an upgrade. So I got to sit
That's so
dude,
sweet.
I never want to go back into the Peasantville ever again.
I hate flights, man.
It's gonna be so sad on my next flight.
Sardine can.
Yeah.
Friggin' sweaty baby crying.
I'm telling you, when you don't have
to. Do you want
to
be a touring musician?
Sedate me and just wake me up when I land.
When you don't have to be schlumped all the way to the back of the flight, you don't sweat. You're not gross. You just barely crawl on.
If I could fly first class, I guarantee you I would love flying.
It's so great.
I guarantee.
It's
I'd be like, great. Flying, what a great thing.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that way these days.
Yeah, flying was really, it was really fun that day.
The only thing I think about when.
And I slept. Like, because I was in this comfy leather, like, reclining seat, so I actually got to sleep after.
Did they
fan
you with the money they collected for all those people?
Yeah, from their money, because mine was free.
God, the last flight we took, we did the red eye, and the, I swear that the chair leaned back, I swear, maximum 2 inches angle. I'm like, whoa. It was like sleeping on a postage stamp. You know, that was as big as the whole. Oh, it was awful, man.
And if you get the emergency rows of those flights, because I've done red eyes and then gotten sat in the emergency rows don't recline at all. So you don't even get that 2% recline. God.
But you get the extra leg room.
No! What fucking extra leg room?
No, yeah.
They have to have like a distance.
No, no, it doesn't.
Well, that flight was fucked.
Yeah, no, really
I'd
doesn't.
Be like, get back, I'm first.
I hate flying. Okay, anyways.
Sorry, got derailed.
Okay, so,
Right game.
I'm just going to talk about the Daredevil season 2 because, well, here's the question. How much do you guys want me to spoil for you?
It'll take me a while to get there, so you can.
You know. I'll just keep to a couple of themes with it because it's the right game. It's not the Daredevil review, but Netflix did release season 2 of Daredevil, and
is it better or worse than season 1?
It's better.
We're already in a good start.
But one first season's fantastic.
Well,
so
that's what I'm not saying like I wasn't saying like is it a bad one, but I was just wondering if it got better or for it.
I think it got better because of the introduction of two new characters, and all the acting is so good, and I think DC has really done a great job because they're also we're getting a lot of the crossover. I started watching Flash, by the way.
Lame.
Which is
and
fun. It's
just like
super
it.
Fun. You know, it's completely different. You can't compare Flash to Daredevil, but it's
Flash is like a Smallville, right? It's like an
it
intro
is, yeah.
kind and of thing.
And
I'm
gonna be watching
Smallville.
Gotham and praising
I'm not,
that.
I'm not. I'm not gonna be praising that of anything. But it feels like, well, obviously, Flash feels like a network TV show, and again, if you have like a, you know, if you have a 9-year-old or 12-year-old or 14-year-old. Perfect sense. I mean, I'm sure I can tell why they would love it. You don't want to put one of your 9-year-old in front of the TV for Daredevil. It's not.
What?
Well, the obviously Daredevil famously is Frank Miller's character from the 1980s, which is the heyday of comics when you get that shift from where comic books were still kind of a little bit, you know, iffy about really crossing that line in the really adult content.
Yeah.
You know, so they're kind of afraid of getting like characters having sex or, you know, dealing drugs and, you know, and all these really violent stuff. And that's where you started getting the shift. And Daredevil, I mean, obviously, if you read Frank Miller, like Sin City or something like that, it's you start getting that. And that's the really beginning with Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the best superhero TV show ever produced. I think that arguably it is that great. It's so good.
I mean, I don't know. I watched a lot of seasons of Smallville. I'm just going to say
Smallville
I was also a lot younger.
Smallville was lame.
No,
the only
wasn't.
Thing they got right was Lois Lane.
Whatever. But I mean, I'm not done with season one, but I have really enjoyed all the Daredevils.
Yeah, the season one really did a great job with Kingpin. And
yeah.
his relationship with Vanessa.
Yeah.
It was just
I haven't
great.
Watched more than one episode.
No, it's very interesting dynamics between characters.
And I probably need to rewatch that one episode because I don't remember.
Yeah, the thing that I like about Daredevil so much is that they really take the long view with the development of the characters. They're not
jumping the shark on anything.
No, super. I mean, and you understand all their motivations and you care about the character. Even like the bad guys.
Yeah,
you're like,
you do. You start to. Most women really fell in love with Kingpin.
He is such a. He's so in love with Vanessa. It's
yeah.
crazy, and you kind of like go, oh,
like
cute.
All of my girlfriends
and
who watched it are like,
smashes someone's skull open, and you're like, whoa, whoops.
You're like, but he loves her. Mm-hmm. Like all of my girlfriends who saw it were like, dude, the Kingpin's the best.
And he's got this very like sort of like proper kind of like how you again the code thing, you know, the family and yeah. who you love. This is what this is the right thing to do, and then he just murders people yeah. like so violently. It's just yeah, he's a great character. The thing about and why I was anticipating season two so much was because of the introduction of Punisher. And
Punisher is a great character.
He's a great character.
Yeah, who's actually, in my opinion, been done pretty well in movies. Like that Punisher movie. I think the character's done pretty well.
If you're going to love the way they do him in season two, they nail it.
I mean, that's awesome.
You know, Punisher goes back to, I believe, around like 1972, 73. Punisher first shows up in Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. As a character with like no backstory, he's like working for the Jackal or something like that. But he still has that same code because it's off of when Spider-Man Green Goblin kills himself with his flying thing, stabs himself. But
glider,
yeah, the glider,
flying thing.
God, was anybody see that the British ship thing? Was it Bodie McBoatster or whatever?
What?
And there's a scientific research ship in England that they let the English public vote for the name of the boat, and they came up with Bodie McBoatsters.
That's awesome.
I'm not kidding.
That's really
either.
Funny.
I'd be totally proud of that name.
Well, I'm hoping they use it.
Paint eyes on it and a big grin.
A googly eyes. You could glow.
Yeah. The other one that was voted on was something like. It was like floaty steel thingy thing or something like that. So yeah, the glider, not the flight.
The floaty steel thingy thing.
but in the storyline, the whole idea was that the public thought that Spider-Man had killed him. That was the whole idea, and then Punisher wanted to kill Spider-Man because. He thought Spider-Man was a bad guy because he'd killed somebody. That was the whole gist of it. But eventually, when the Punisher actually, they finally sort of develop his character. And if you don't know the backstory of it, I think when they finally gave him his own issues. Well, actually, I think he comes back in Spider-Man again for a while in the mid-70s. And the gist of the story is that his family, you know, when it gets serious in the mid-70s, when he gets his own storyline, he's a Vietnam vet. And and when he comes home and his family gets caught in the crossfire of two gangs fighting and they all get killed.
Because that's what sets him off.
That's what sets him off. He snaps. Yeah. You know? And it's like, especially in the era when Punisher was being written, you had all this, you know, discussion about, you know, the effects of war and the controversy about the violence in Vietnam, and to have this character that was a vet who was coming back and the great thing about the show is you like the character, but he's not right. You know, and there's a lot of this discussion about him not being able to control it. He's reliving the death of his family every day. And he can never stop. It's like it's always there. So there's no, you know, him thinking about what he's doing. He's just doing it. And
it's great.
Good thing he didn't go with his first name, Bodie McBoatster. They didn't tell you that issue. Issue number
Punny McPunisher. Not nearly as threatening sounding.
Hitty McPunisher.
but the character, and it's the actor, I forgot his name, the guy plays Shane, that played Shane in the first season of Walking Dead.
He's fantastic too. If you've seen him in other things, he's a really great actor.
He is so great as the Punisher. He just nails it.
I'm definitely really watching it, because did anybody else catch those abs in season one?
You're gonna love it. He's just so great. And Kingpin comes back.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Not for a while, but when he does, it is great.
I gotta watch the whole first season, second season.
Yeah, I gotta. I'm now going to binge
this
watch.
This is a tiny bit of spoiling. I'll just mention it. I'm just gonna say that because if you don't know this already, that Elektra.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't know that. But yeah.
And they nail that character. I mean, she's super conflicted.
I hated Elektra movies.
You're gonna love this rendition.
Elektra.
That is what I will be honest. That is what I know of Elektra. I don't know Elektra as a comic book, and I was just like,
no. They.
My problem with Elektra is I don't think she has good enough villains to be her own comic book.
You'll wait till you see this. You They get the story all perfect. Right.
That's pretty cool. That's exciting to hear.
And just by example of why I think the show is so successful, again, it really is that long view of the development of the characters, because Electra is super conflicted. And again, the relationship between Daredevil and Electra throughout season two is mm-hmm. super conflicted. The tone stays that way perfectly throughout. But I'm just going to mention they have a minor character, Karen Page, in the storyline. And probably easily the weakest character, I think, in the TV series.
That you said I would like?
Yeah, yeah, because she's, you know, she thinks she's your type.
The secretary?
Yeah, yeah. But here's the deal. What I liked about it so much is that they literally develop that character all the way through the first season, and then she becomes someone different by the time you hit really the middle of the second season, maybe even a little bit later. But it's a completely... It makes perfect sense. You know, it wasn't like this weird shift or change. It was a real long, drawn development of who she was going to become. And she's not even a major character.
Mm-hmm.
But they took the time to really develop this character who I'm like, well, she's kind of weak, but it makes perfect sense.
I
was like super impressed with that. To take a minor character, follow her through two seasons just to get her where she's going to be for the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it made perfect sense, you know, the development between her relationship and Nelson and Matt and Foggy and Matt. And by the time they get there, I just go, well, you know, they cared enough about these little characters to give them a perfectly good character arc that made perfect sense.
That's really funny that you kind of say that, because I'm not done with the first season, and I actually really like her character. I know that I really like the way they positioned it. I liked her character because she isn't strong, but mm-hmm. she really makes every effort, even though sometimes she made poor choices throughout. Like, I mean, I'm not done with it, so I don't know all the choices she made, but there's been times where I'm like, do not go into the alley, you crazy girl. But at the same time, like, what she was trying to accomplish and what she's trying to do, like, I found her to be a really interesting character from the start.
Yeah, and it only gets better. Yeah. So, if you haven't done it yet, and I binge watched the whole goddamn thing, couldn't stop. It's got some flaws, but for the most part, I mean, I'm super impressed with it. And of course, the way they've really cared about how they've handled the characters has been really terrific. It's just... Yeah, and they really bring the violence. Yeah, they don't.
They are good with the. Well, they were good at that in the first season. I really appreciated that.
You just wait. Yeah, I mean, because what they do with Punisher and some of the scenes are just so wrong.
Oh yeah, with him, I'm sure.
Or even some of the stuff that Elektra does, I'm just like, wow, that was like Walking Dead type of like, whoa.
Where you're sitting there going, like, are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, this is not your 12-year-old's comic book TV show.
Definitely the freedom of Netflix, and why they probably brought on that, like, is this a kid or is this an adult watching this?
Better than Jessica Jones.
After I watched Beast of No Nation, I was like, Netflix can do anything.
I haven't finished Beast of No Nation.
Dude, it's depressing.
It was depressing. I watched half of it.
Yep.
I will finish it.
My dad died and now I'm a child soldier, and I'm like,
yeah, it is
like
really...
the first 10 seconds of that movie, I'm like, this isn't gonna go any better.
This isn't gonna go well.
No,
I do want to finish it though. It was incredibly interesting,
although it is really, I mean, Idris Elba is really good in that movie. I guess it's a movie, and it was just, yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, after I saw that, I was like, yeah, Netflix can pretty much do whatever they want.
It's amazing.
Hey, that's it for me. You skipping out on Nerd Mixtape this week?
I don't have any big updates, so we'll see.
Jump into some advice.
All right, here is your mediocre advice from a decent human being.
Are you sure you got that right?
I did get it right. This is Nerds on Nerds on Nerds, and we are not going to point you to your favorite porn site. So, what I'm talking about with my Nerd on Nerd on Nerd segment is...
This sounds creepy.
I wanted it to sound a little bit creepy, but it's not. It's actually something that kind of I went through in the past, you know, couple weeks. To some extent, like, okay, would you guys have classified yourselves as a nerd when you were younger? Like, I know being a geek or a nerd is cool right now, but when you were younger, would you have classified yourself in the category of nerd to which we previously thought the category of nerd?
Yes. Judging by how I wasn't like People didn't make fun of me, but I wasn't popular.
No.
No, you were like pretty.
I was a metalhead and a punk.
He was like in bands.
That's true.
Yeah, pretty much solid.
That's
band.
True. So
I wasn't cool, but I thought I was. I guess.
So
you ran in a circle.
Yeah.
I definitely thought of myself as a nerd because I've always been a little bit awkward and a little bit socially awkward. In that I did a lot of ballet, so I was always gone. So I didn't do the whole, I didn't hang out with my friends too much. I didn't go to sleepovers. There was a lot of things my parents didn't allow me to do to, stay out. I had a curfew all the way until I was in college, through college. A very a 10 p.m. curfew in college.
That's because you couldn't be trusted.
I could not be trusted. But it did kind of create this atmosphere of a nerd. Plus, I was always really, definitely good. I was pretty good at school. I liked to get good grades. I liked to study. So I didn't feel the need to go out and do too much. I definitely didn't party in high school at all.
I would have to say I did become really? In high school.
Yeah, not in high school.
I was a book nerd. I have to say that because I did carry books around with me. I did get crap from people for doing that. Yeah.
Well, and I mean,
not the typical nerd.
Well, I didn't go to prom and stuff. I didn't do that. Reasons. That were not totally
see, and
voluntary.
I went to those, but I would say that 75% of dances I had to ask a guy to go with me. I didn't get asked.
Yeah,
to
but
dances.
That's just high school guys.
No,
trust
but
me.
My friends were asking and stuff, but I was a nerd. That was what I was.
I never got invited to any parties or anything. So
yeah, and I've
people
and
didn't really
through college.
Like me.
Through college, I was like that way too. I've always kind of been a nerd. If you put me in any setting with people, there is still a thing that happens with adults where they click. They go into little cliques. I will always go into the nerd clique. It doesn't even matter if I don't put myself there. I will end up there. And I'm very comfortable with it nowadays. But in the past, I wasn't. But you noticed all of these things. I was bullied, the whole nine yards. I had all of that. So I very much can call myself that kind of a nerd, not just the things that we like and, fandom kind of a nerd.
Yep.
So through that, you would think that you develop a thick skin, but sometimes you don't, or sometimes it beats you down even more. And as you know, I think that there's, such a great community popping up of being socially acceptable in a popular way to be a nerd, or it's cool to be a geek now, and that's all awesome and stuff. But there is this still inability to I felt this week, I guess what I'm, it's just between us in our own society of nerds and geeks, we need to work a little bit towards how we speak to each other, because we get in bits of passion and ways that we are. And if you were like me, you might have some sort of social anxiety or blockage as to always saying what you mean in the right way.
Right.
I'm kind of the opposite side, where I say things in a very tiptoey way. I'm I'm the eggshell kind of person. Some nerds are people who you consider that way are very blunt, and they don't realize how much they're hurting your feelings.
They don't have a filter. Yeah.
There's no filter.
That's a big nerd problem. Yeah.
And I'm just going to say it's a problem within our own collective. Yep. And I think that it's something that we all need to take back and look at, is we get super passionate. I mean, I know I just said the Good Dinosaur sucked. Maybe somebody worked on that. I'm sorry, it still sucked. But if somebody in front of me was I worked on the Good Dinosaur, I would have the social class, I guess, to not throw that in their faces. And I just think that that's something that we do it online all the time, and it's so hurtful for the people that work on it, because the people that worked on most of the things that we're passionate about were there might not, maybe the CEO of the company isn't passionate, maybe the people making the big money aren't, but the ones that made it and are now reading your comments were the ones who were really passionate about that project. And that shit, I know we were kind of talking about, you're talking about Zootopia, dealing with bullying and stuff. It's not even bullying. You're not even trying to hit the person too many times. You honestly can ding me once and I'm down for a month. It sits with me, and it's so hard because my social anxieties come from that other side. Like I said, I'm the eggshell walker, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just think that between our communities, there's just kind of something where it would be really cool to have anybody listening to this one and then tell, you know, their friends, like, it would be cool to develop that community that doesn't do that kind of shit to each other eventually, so that we're not known as the quote unquote neckbeards of the world, in the sense that that's a term because of a generalization, but it also became a very negative one. But like things like with that, or like with what I still don't even completely understand with like Gamergate things or whatever like that, it's just such a like harsh reality to who we are. And it doesn't even matter the topic that we're talking about. It's just sometimes we let our passions run away with us and we forget that there's like another person on the other end who maybe because of their like social stuff can't handle what you're saying. And we should be a little bit more careful of that within, I think, what I think is normally a very pleasant space to be in amongst like people that I feel comfortable around.
I totally agree with that. I mean, it is part of, in a strange way, it's part of the culture that
it's part of the culture.
Nerds get very passionate about whatever area of the nerd universe that they're passionate about. And they're so detail oriented and they're so immersed in it that they don't really think about how people are going to feel when they say things.
Yeah.
And because not the stereotype, but I'm going to stereotype, nerds aren't the best socially adapted human beings, and they don't.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm saying it.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying it because, I mean, I know you said that you didn't consider yourself growing up that way and that you had a couple of like stints with it, but not super typical. Like, I actually was very typical, and people, and here's something that somebody told me recently, like pretty recent, and I'm not saying it to like pat myself on the back, but the person told me, you know why people don't think that you, like the reason that people feel that they can like lash out to you is because you're a pretty girl. Like they were basically saying like you don't have the nerdy stigma, so they're not as gentle with you because maybe you're a little threatening in this. But I'm like, I'm probably worse than they are in the like world of nerddom, like as far as how like afraid to be social I can be. But so it's just kind of like a, you know, you don't know where a person comes from. So,
yeah. And also, I mean, you mentioned this, you know, social media is so prevalent in, you know, in what we do, obviously, that we have individuals that spend most of their communication on social media where they have this, you know, this illusion of, you know, well, it creates an atmosphere of zero empathy, but they're not able to see the reaction, and there's no consequences. There's no consequences for what they say. So they think they can say whatever they want because there's no real, you know, comeback. So when they're in front of real human beings, when there's going to be some damage done, they don't think.
Yeah.
And that's,
it does. That's, it feeds into it when it's it does, like, because then it's not even just, oh, you threw it out into like the ether of the internet and so you didn't get to see it, and so you have that blanket. It's like then it's just who they start to become, because that's just what they're used to. And it's just fucking like, dude, like I'm like torn. I'm going to be torn down for like the next month and a half as a result of like one comment that was probably just somebody having a little bit of like a nerd fit. And I'm like, was that necessary? Like, did you really need to do that to me? You know, and being somebody who's just the other side of not being able to handle it, you know, we exist in this community too.
Yeah. And it's not, and that's totally had nothing to do with you at all. And they probably, I guarantee, probably don't have a clue because they don't.
Probably not
completely
one.
Completely socially inept, and they so that they're not going to.
Probably not one. And I'm not the person to tell them because I'm not the one who's going to lash back out. I'm just going to be like, okay, I'm just going to go sit in this corner and cry. That sounds like a good idea. Go me. But like,
I'm with you though. When people do that stuff to me, it hangs with me forever.
I can remember things that people have said to me for years and years and years after.
Yep.
It's just, you know, fuck man, be nice.
Yeah. So nerd advice.
Nerd on nerd on nerd. Be nice.
Yes. Learn to be empathetic.
If you have a problem, just walk away and you're like, stop being a dick butt. And then they're perfect. Like, it'll shut them down immediately.
Well, it's funny because people who know me think that I would be that way because I can be a little bit like...
I can be a dick, too.
But I'm not like that with strangers, because I at least know where my friends come from, and my friends can handle some of the shit that I'm going to say. But
yeah, you know this. When it comes to politics, I should not respond on social media. Because I'm sure there's plenty of people that just block me because if you set me off, it's going to get ugly and I can't control it. It's terrible. And I apologize to anybody that's ever run afoul.
I mean, honestly, if somebody says anything that makes me like slightly uncomfortable, I'm no longer comfortable in the space around them for it takes a while. And it happens to me. Honestly, it happens to me even within my like own family circles. Like I'm that sensitive, but it comes from like years of kind of just being sensitive. So that's been my defense, is just stay away from it, stay away from it. As you grow older, some of those things don't serve you anymore, and you have to like kind of jump in head first in work and whatever. But dude, be don't, nice.
Yep, be
it's
nice.
It's kind of like
be nice.
This happened at the Cloverfield thing, but basically the people sitting next to me were like all talking about like film stuff. They were like film nerds.
Yeah.
Okay. If you've ever dealt with film nerds,
it's the same thing.
It's pretty hard sometimes. It's the same thing. Like they were talking, and I just realized in my brain, like my brain was going off, like these fucking guys. Like
you do, like, and that you do that. And you do that. We all do that. I'm not saying I don't.
And then the one of them tried to like talk to me and stuff, and I'm like, I have no interest in speaking with you. Like that was like the initial, like, and part of me was like, well,
you're human, dude.
He's trying to make conversation. Yeah. So
see, but you're empathetic.
I was being nice. And then like, he's all like, you know, this is kind of weird. Like Slash hasn't been relevant in a while. Right. And I was just like that was the wrong person to say that to. That was the wrong thing to say. And then I just started like telling him, well, he has a solo band, and he's all like, really? It just kept getting worse, and I'm all like, yeah, and Guns N' Roses
but
are reuniting.
But you educated him, and were you ever mean to him in that whole conversation? That's all I'm talking about.
That was very hard.
You can't control what your mind is doing, and if he listened to you and he went, oh, really? That was already a step in the right direction versus going like, nah, it sucks, and not knowing.
Yeah, not to get all psychologist on you, but I mean, it's called theory of mind, and most human beings have this. In other words, if you're a well-adjusted functioning human being, typically not only do I think about what I'm going to say to you, I'm already perceiving what you're thinking. So I'm thinking, you know, I should say in response, this is automatic, by the way, I'm not thinking that, but I'm already thinking, well, how will you react when I say this? And normal functioning people could do this. So we look at your body language, your face, and we think, you know, what are they thinking
like prior interactions, if you know the person at all, you take those into account.
But even as human being, but there are seriously nerds lack theory of mind. They don't know how to think that someone else doesn't think like they do. They just think everyone should think like I do.
Yeah.
And we do it too. If you've listened to this podcast long enough, like, you know, you know, we do it too.
Yeah.
But I feel like okay, so we do it with that wall of the fact that some people are going to listen to us on the other end and they can't talk back to us directly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But like between the three of us, I feel like we at least have it between us to know, like, all right, like Milo knows, even though he doesn't stop when like his Walking Dead comments have gone too far, but he knows, like, we at least have that between us, you know. I feel like it gets lost in our culture and like the society that we love.
And it goes both ways. There's the super nice nerds that are like, let me talk to you about everything I love.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I don't care. And like, that's the harder one.
That's hard.
I think like being a dick, I can be like, well, fuck you, and I leave. But being like super nice, you're like, oh man, I know you really love Doctor Who, but I don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah, 3 hours later.
That's hard. And you know, that happens at Comic-Con to me and Carlos all the time. Is we sit next to somebody and they're all like, do you like this show? And you make the mistake of saying, I've seen one episode. And then they're all like, oh, did you see this one? And blah, blah, blah. And you're all like, please stop or I'm going to murder you.
Well, and I mean, I work conventions and people come up to me and they'll talk to me a lot about things that I don't know or don't care about or whatever. I like to take the extra time to listen to them because maybe they didn't talk to anybody yet that day. And like, maybe this is the highlight of their convention.
Yeah. No, I mean,
that
I'm
makes
nice,
me feel
but...
okay, you know? So that's what, right. that's all I'm saying. It's like, you might think a billion different things. We are all human. We can't stop you from thinking it. We're all assholes in our own right. I totally am going to like fess up to the fact that I totally am sometimes too. But I think that if we just like, you know, just.
Yeah,
chill.
Perfect.
I also like to think, though, that I'm pretty lucky in terms of that I'm socially awkward and I don't understand a lot of things sometimes, but for the most part...
You can read some cue.
I can have normal conversation.
You can, yeah.
And with people that don't know anything about anything that
well,
I'm
you
about.
Know what? When my eyes are tearing up, that should be a fucking
it
cue.
It should. It absolutely should
I'm just
be.
Saying.
And then you kick him in the knees.
And then I kick you in the knees. All right,
your
well,
eyes are tearing up.
Anyways, that's my mediocre cool. device for the day.
Okay, so final words, guys. Let's lead us...
Fuck. It says F words.
Fuck this.
So,
fuck.
That's
fuck,
all I have.
Fuckity fuck fuckity fuck.
We're going to WonderCon.
Fucky McFuckster.
We're going to WonderCon. That's it. Nothing exciting has really happened. You guys were sick. My stomach made me shit and throw up for like 2 days.
Oh, yes, yeah, we are going to WonderCon.
We're going to WonderCon. Batman and Superman.
Batman versus Superman.
Orphan fight.
Orphan fight will be out. And we'll be back in a later time, day. Same bad time, same bad channel. Yeah, I don't know. We kind of make it up every now and again.
Yeah, we've kind of been in and out.
Yeah, but I think that's pretty much for next week, right? That's enough, I think. WonderCon and Batman versus Superman.
Will be more than
is
enough.
That, wait,
yeah.
Is Batman versus Superman this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go see it opening day because I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with those people.
You mean the guy sitting in line going, hey, you like Batman?
Yeah.
And if you are at WonderCon and you go to booth 301 and tell them that Tiny Table 3 sent you... They'll tell you to fuck off.
Especially
what if
Cloud's
that, what if
there.
That was your booth? Like all of a sudden
not,
you show up and they're
it's
like, it's 301. You're like,
it's not my booth. But if you are around this weekend and you recognize Tiny Table 3 and this goes up before then, you might catch me on a Friday or a Saturday by the Geek & Sundry booth.
And I might be hanging out there too.
And I might be peeing in the corner. That's my goal, to
of
pee somewhere
booth?
Publicly.
Okay, good
without
luck.
Getting in trouble.
You're going to pee in the corner?
Well, why would you do that in the convention?
At WonderCon?
There's bathrooms that are in the corners of the convention.
You're just going to pee like on the wall of the bathroom?
I think so. What would you do? I mean, honestly, like in the scenario, let's say you walked into a bathroom and there's just some dude peeing on the wall.
Dude, I've had dudes straight up like pull out their junk and pee on walls right next to me outdoors. Like, yeah. There's nothing I can do.
This is that surprising, actually.
But I'm just saying, like...
What would I do?
You wouldn't do anything. You'd just be like, sup.
Yeah. I don't think I'd even say sup.
To be fair, I don't
I'd say, hey, what's up, Penis McPinster?
Penis McPrick Pants. But I enjoy
okay.
All right. We'll see y'all next time.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Penis with peanut butter. Oh, my God.
Penis with peanut butter.
Never actually read the book. Never actually read the book. Never actually read the book. I've never actually read the book. Never read a book from front to back of page to page. Never read a book from front to back of page to page. Front to back, face to face. Front to back. Never read a many, not a single one. It's gone, but I enjoy a good one. I got a quick confession.